Right, like Kate mentioned, I'm Jamie Heisey, and today I'll be talking about my project that I worked alongside my colleagues with, Kate Carricker-Jaffe, Jane Whitbrot, and Lee Ann Kaskoutis. And we were looking at the effects of distance to treatment on and treatment type on Alcoholics Anonymous, or AA attendance, and subsequent alcohol consumption. And then really briefly, I just want to say that I don't have any personal or financial relationships or conflicts of interest to disclose within the past 12 months relating to this project. So today I would like to talk to you briefly about a little introduction about the importance of geography in substance abuse treatment studies. The critical period for substance users right after treatment discharge, and also aftercare, self-help, and AA, the importance of those. Then I'll briefly then we will go over the current study, which includes the sample, the methods, the results, implications, and then strengths and limitations of the study. Well, this is moving quick. So what do we currently know about geography in substance abuse treatment literature, and why is it important? So studies have actually showed us that the neighborhood characteristics, such as geographic proximity, or environmental context, such as neighborhood characteristics and geographic proximity, may pose barriers to a person's treatment regimen. So specifically, distance to treatment has been known to be affecting utilization and retention rates. So Beardsley and colleagues actually identified that individuals who were traveling less than a mile to treatment had increased odds of completing their treatment, and individuals who were traveling 4 miles or more to treatment had significantly higher odds of a shorter stay in treatment. Furthermore, extended travel lengths, clients who are living in poor, disadvantaged neighborhoods, or clients who are traveling to a treatment that might be in an area with higher crime rates, might affect or do actually affect their continuity in treatment. So despite these studies, little is known about the relationship between proximity to treatment and post-treatment outcomes. So we're really interested in post-treatment outcomes because once a person leaves treatment, this time is known as the critical period. So the 3 to 6 month time shortly after leaving is often associated with a high risk of relapse and, unfortunately, a return to abusive drinking patterns. Furthermore, substance use disorders are often chronic conditions that may require several episodes of treatment and care over an extended period of time. So due to these vulnerabilities, it's really important and for clients to continue seeking some form of aftercare or follow-up or self-help groups, and practitioners highly recommend this for their clients upon discharge. So one very popular self-help resource is known as Alcoholics Anonymous, or as we all refer to as AA. And like I mentioned, many formal treatment programs are encouraging their clients to attend AA meetings while they're at treatment and also after treatment as a form of aftercare. What we do know in the literature about AA is that different treatment clients are introduced to AA in different ways. So, for example, inpatient clients may be participating in these AA meetings when they're in treatment close to their treatment facility or even at their treatment facility. Outpatient clients may differ in that they may be participating in these AA groups when in areas that might be closer to their neighborhood. So these differences in the AA utilization during treatment raise important questions that are in need of further investigation. So our research questions of interest: if inpatient clients are typically introduced to AA meetings close to their treatment facility, what happens to AA attendance rates once they complete treatment? And then, is this different for people who live far away from their inpatient facility? Furthermore, does proximity to an outpatient facility affect clients' AA attendance rates post-treatment? And do differences in AA attendance by treatment type have subsequent effects on alcohol consumption post-treatment? So these questions drove our current study. And based on the background that I just gave you and our research questions, we hypothesized that AA attendance patterns for inpatient, outpatient, and detox clients will differ. We think that the distance from their home to treatment will matter most for inpatient clients, specifically because they are probably being introduced to these AA meetings closer to their treatment rather than home. And furthermore, we believe that traveling 10 miles or further to treatment will yield higher alcohol consumption post-treatment, specifically among the inpatient group. So the methods that we utilized, our current sample was recruited from 10 alcohol and drug treatment programs in Northern California. We had 470 clients who completed both baseline and follow-up assessments, and we included any clients that were current drinkers at baseline who lived within 100 miles of treatment and who provided a residential street address rather than a P.O. box, so we were able to geocode their current residence. The measures that we were interested in, outcome measures were past 12-month AA attendance and past 12-month drink volume. Both of these distributions were slightly not normal, so they were capped and logged. And then our predictor variables of interest were treatment type, categorized by inpatient, outpatient, and detox treatment, and then also the distance to treatment, which was the calculated number of miles from their residence at baseline to their treatment facility that they were participating in. And we used this using a GIS system. We controlled for the following variables, pretty typical types of covariates that may be involved, a whole handful of them, as you can see up on the screen. And then for our analysis plan, we utilized linear regression analyses to test baseline characteristics, treatment type, and distance to treatment as predictors of both AA attendance and drink volume. And then we included interaction terms to look at the relationship between distance to treatment and treatment type. And then we also looked at stratified models to see if there were any individual main effects for each of the treatment types. We were further interested in testing some mediation models, so we included linear regressions to test this. And we utilized survey-weighted data in all of our models, and in just a brief moment, you will see why we had to do that. So I just want to provide a little bit of additional background before getting into the results. This slide shows the ethnic composition by each treatment type, inpatient, outpatient, and detox. Inpatient and outpatient were fairly similar. They were mainly comprised of whites, followed by blacks, and then in detox, it was kind of the opposite, largely comprised of blacks, and then followed by whites. This chart here shows some baseline characteristics and how they vary by treatment type. You can see on the x-axis, we're looking at marital status, employment, education, and income. And then this is the percent of clients who are meeting all of these statuses. Outpatient clients are, you can largely see that they have more are married, more are employed, more people had more than a high school education. They're also making a larger income. And then this final chart shows you the average distance that is traveled to treatment by each treatment type. And we can see that outpatients are traveling, on average, the shortest distance to treatment, and inpatients were traveling the furthest distance at around 17 miles. Okay, so this is a table looking at results of the weighted linear regression models testing the baseline characteristics as predictors of AA attendance. And I didn't include all of the other variables because there's a long list and really wanted to highlight some of the important ones here. So distance to treatment was not found to be significant on its own. Treatment type specifically of inpatient treatment compared to outpatient as the reference group was significant. And then we found a significant interaction of inpatient treatment by distance to treatment. And then in just one moment, I will explain what we found here. So here in this table, or in this figure, we can see that the triangle group is the inpatient, and as their distance is increasing from their home to treatment, their AA attendance is decreasing. We also see a funny effect here for detox people. It looks like as their distance is increasing, their AA attendance is increasing, which is counterintuitive and counter our hypotheses. Post hoc analyses reveal that this group in particular, who the detox clients who were traveling a further distance, were actually far more motivated to be participating in their alcohol treatment, and they were also, a large group of them were going back to treatment right after baseline. So we believe this is the cause of that strange effect there. This table, table 2, looks at it's a weighted linear regression testing our baseline characteristics as predictors of drink volume. And here we have not a main effect of distance to treatment, again, but of treatment type for inpatients drinking more at the one-year follow-up, and then a significant interaction of inpatient by distance again. So we're finding here that similar to the following figure that we were looking at, and specifically among inpatient clients, those who were traveling a further distance to their treatment at the one-year follow-up are actually drinking a lot more than their counterparts who are traveling a less distance. So we did have confirmation of our hypotheses. So then we were interested in looking at the extent for which AA was moderating this relationship that we're finding between treatment type and drink volume. So we looked at we used product of coefficients method of mediation and Sobel tests. We were able to identify a significant mediating effect of AA attendance between inpatient and detox treatment type and drink volume post-treatment. So in a nutshell, what that means is that almost half of the total effect of inpatient treatment on alcohol consumption post-treatment was due to these AA attendance rates. And that 82% of the total effect of detox treatment on alcohol consumption post-treatment was due to AA attendance rates. So why is this all important and what does this mean? So this is really an important study because it helps to inform residential treatment programs of the disparities that we see in aftercare utilization and specifically self-help groups. So what we really are with the fundamental goal here is that we're trying to inform the residential treatment programs that we need to start customizing some post-treatment aftercare resources and help them with an integration plan to find AA that might be closer to their neighborhood to continue those higher rates because it's so important. It's also important to help establish better resources close to their home if they choose to reduce going to their AA after leaving treatment. All right, and then it's also important to inform physicians or social workers who may be delivering referrals to these different treatment centers because among the people who may need it most, inpatient clients, it's very important to consider where you're referring these patients or clients to go to seek their treatment. If you're going a really far distance away, it might be harder to find a network closer to their home once leaving. So the strengths of the study, we were able to look above individual effects and look at ecological areas. So, and then we had a lot of information on their baseline characteristics, so we were really able to control for a lot of confounding variables that helped to strengthen the inference of our findings. And finally, typically in AA research, they look at abstinence as the main outcome, but we included a drinking outcome so we were able to assess maybe people who were improving their drinking but not yet able to abstain from their drinking. And then some common limitations that we've seen in many studies, there could have been some possible sampling error. We categorized the treatment types based on the treatment that they were all participating in, but we don't know about the program rigor or the levels of participation in AA for all of those different clients. Although we were able to log and cap our distributions, they were still not, they were still violating a little slightly the normal distributions, and then also the common criticisms of self-report measures. Thank you so much for your attention, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Could you remind me of where you got your data from?
Can you repeat the question?
How did you get your data?
Yeah, the question was where did we get our data? And it was a study that was conducted in 1995 and 1996, a longitudinal study that was recruited from 10 alcohol treatment programs in Northern California. The NIAAA.
Oh, NIAAA.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Not a health plan.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
Perfectly understandable. But the you know, the quality should be that after inpatient, you go to outpatient, and you behold, you know, in the context of a health plan, you'd be holding the health plan responsible for that continuity.
Sure.
And then in some ways, you know, so 1990, this actually proves the need.
Absolutely, and I agree 100%.
With more current data, that,
sure.
That wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be, so this is the basis for what we'd like to see.
Sure, absolutely. Definitely. Thank you. Very, very wise. Yes.
So look, you used less than or greater than 2 miles as a bivariate variable. You're thinking that, you know, from Northern California to Wyoming to New York City, 10 miles from the bottom end of the volume.
Absolutely.
So it seems that for external validity, using distance as a continuous variable, we're looking at time
to be more useful. Is that possible? Sure. So the question is possibly generalizing this study using a continuous distance variable rather than a dichotomous one. I think that's a great point. For us, it made sense because 10 miles is approximately 30 minutes in that area, so it takes a longer distance. So there we were, because of our smaller sample, we were able to find some effects, but if you have the ability to utilize a continuous variable for that, I think it would definitely strengthen the findings for sure. Yes, so the question was if some of our sample was court-ordered to be in treatment or maybe involuntarily in there. We did have that as a variable, and we did look at it, but it didn't change our findings. We didn't end up controlling for it because we weren't finding much of an effect because there was a lot of variability within each treatment. The detox clients had a slightly larger amount of individuals who were court-ordered, but not. It wasn't a significant finding, and it didn't change our results, but great, great idea, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I was with you 100% and looked into it. Anybody else? Any other questions? All right, thanks. Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part. Mm-hmm. Right, I didn't present it up here, but we did investigate that as a possible confounding variable. All right, thank you, everyone.